All right, so we are gonna be all over the place, and we are gonna be doing something a little bit different tonight. I'll explain as we get to the end of the service. I thought I had made a joke at first. I was like, man, I'm pretty funny, but apparently not. So we are gonna be talking about effective prayer tonight. Now you might ask, why is it such a big deal? Well, tomorrow is the 2017 National Day of Prayer. And that sounds great, and it sounds like it's a fantastic thing for our nation, until a lot of us stop and look and say, but I don't really know how to pray. Like, I mean, I know it means talking to God, but, you know, do I have to sound like old English? Do I have to say thou's and thee's and myself and thine self and all the other stuff? Do I have to come and, oh, God, our Father? Do I have to come like that? How do I pray? How do I come about doing this thing called prayer? We have a national day of it. The reason that we have a national day of it is because prayer works. And back in the founding of our nation, our presidents, our leaders would pray. Why? Because prayer works, and because God wants to answer prayer, and because God enjoys the prayers of his children. But we first have to ask then, how do I pray effectively? You've all heard, because of science in class, the cause and effect, right? If there's a cause, there's an effect because of that cause. So when you're talking about what does effective prayer mean, it means that it's going to affect something, that there's going to be an effect because of the prayer. Not just, it would be like me saying, I'm going to use something illegal, okay? But it would be me like saying, hey, the Cavs are going to win the finals this year. Okay, that's saying it. But if I pay the refs to make sure that the Cavs win the finals, there's an effect of what I'm saying, because there's something that's happening because of it. That's the idea. How do I make sure that when I pray, something happens? How do I make sure that I have the most communication with God? How do I make sure that happens? I'm going to give you 7 steps, okay? Mr. Dave, Mr. DJ, would you come up here? Especially since Kalen's talking with you. And the Cavaliers, Cleveland,
it's a baby cow.
But while everybody else, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, the NBA. What team? It's a basketball team. Just pass those out. Whoa. We speak highly here. All right, so you were getting notes. Sure. Do you? Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can. Thank you. All right, you're getting a paper, and then you are going to get a pen, and then we're going to go to work. Allie's got the pen she's walking around with. I know you all have your favorite pen, but please just grab and pass. I'll just let it ride. Surely you guys will shut up sometime. No, it's too bad. You have to commit it to memory. All right. Now that you've got your paper and your pen, and we found out if Allie's hair is naturally curly or not, let's jump into Scripture. Number one. If you need, just go switch it out. Number one. How do I make sure that my prayers are effective, that they are doing something? Number one, pray from a cleansed life and heart. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God cannot look upon sin. So when we come before his presence and we start to pray and say, God, would you do this for me? But there's this glaring sin that's over here that we're unwilling to address with him because we want to leave it or we want to keep it or whatever. And we've got that hidden here. And we come and say, but he's not answering these. There's a reason. Because James 5:16 says, it's the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, righteous has the idea of, first off, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding who you are in light of who he is. That our Savior, Jesus, came to earth to die, not just to die for the fun of it, but to die because there were sinners who needed salvation. Because there were people who had done things wrong that needed to be saved, that needed someone to bridge the gap between them and heaven. And so Jesus comes and steps into the picture, lives a perfect life, is God in the flesh, dies, buried, resurrected. We just celebrated that on Easter. All for the reason of redeeming you, of buying you back out of your sin so that God could have a relationship with you because he loves you that much. Keep in mind that when you feel like, and you're a teenager, so you're going to feel like this, when you feel like nobody else in the world loves you, there was one person who left the riches of heaven for you. If no one else on earth actually were to love you, which it's Satan convincing you that nobody else does, but if you were to convince yourself that no one else loves you, there is one person who proved it to you beyond what you can argue with. So when you come into prayer with God, pray from a cleansed life and heart. Ask him to forgive you of the sins. Ask him, as David said, to search me, O God, try me and know my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wickedness in me, so that before I spend time with you, I've got freedom from all of that. Pray from a cleansed life and heart. Number two, pray with perseverance and persistence. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So pray with perseverance and persistence. Don't give up because you don't get an answer right away. We live in a very much instant gratification society. You press the numbers on the microwave and you still get angry at the microwave that it's not done in time. We have a project that we have done. We sit down for 30 minutes to work on the project and we're not done with it. And we're like, oh my gosh, do I need to work any longer on this? Because we want it to be done and over with. We want instant gratification. It's just the way that we are. It's the way that the society is. If you want it, you can have it now. The fact that all of you, if I asked you a question you didn't know the answer to, could pull out your phone, type in the search box, and ask and see if Google or Siri or whoever you use would actually answer it for you is instant gratification. I can know the answer to any question I have just by asking it. By the way, disclaimer, not everything you read from Google is correct, okay? Just because it's the top hit after you ask a question doesn't mean it's correct, okay? But anyways, we live in an instant gratification type of world. Don't think that way when it comes to prayer. My son and my daughter come and ask me about things for their birthday. You know, their birthday only comes around once a year. My daughter just had her birthday April 24th, and she is already asking for things for her next birthday, okay? Persistence and perseverance. She will continue to ask for things for her birthday throughout the whole year. Now, guess what? That actually helps me. Why? Because when it gets to her birthday, guess what? I know what she wants. Birthday gifts. I know what she wants because she's asked me for them. I'm not going to give it to her when it's not her birthday, okay? So here's the point. Persistence and perseverance. Continue to ask God for what you want. However, coming from the fact of God, search me and try my thoughts and my heart, know if there's any wickedness in me. Am I asking this because it glorifies you, or am I asking for this because it glorifies me? Because God's not interested in sharing the glory with you. He's not interested in being like, well, okay, I mean, I would answer it this way and give you a great life, but you really want this now, so here you go. God's not going to do that. Why? Because I wouldn't do that for my son. I would make sure if this meant he had a great life later, if he didn't get this thing now, I would make sure he didn't get it. So that's how God is. There's perseverance. There's persistence that he requires. Number three, pray specific prayers. Let me tell you what I'm sick and tired of myself hearing. Dear God, would you bless this day? Would you bless this? Would you bless that? Would you bless all these things? And blessings be upon blessings that be upon the blessed that bless the blessings and bless this and bless that. And then we walk away going, I prayed. Over what? What does blessing mean? Good tidings? Good things? Okay, God bless my family. What do you mean? Well, I mean, I would hope my dad has a good day at work. Well, God forbid you ask for that. Instead of just saying, bless my family, God, would you please give my dad a great day at work? It's been a tough week to last week. Would you give him a relaxing, easy day at work today? Would you help him to glorify you in everything that he does with his talking with his coworkers? Would they see you in him? And that's what you mean by bless, but we don't pray specific prayers. And then we wonder later on, like, God, I don't understand why I still struggle with my attitude with my parents. I have prayed that you'd bless my family for years. Great. But what are your specific prayer requests? What are you honestly asking for? What do you want God to do? And when you pray that, be persistent with it. Persevere in that. I have prayed for my grandmother since I was probably 9 or 10, that I can remember honestly just continually praying for my grandmother that she would accept Christ. I am now 29 years old. I have not stopped praying for my grandmother because I'm going to be persistent and persevere in this fact that God, the specific prayer request is that my grandmother would trust in you so she would go to heaven. Number 4, pray with sensitivity to God's Holy Spirit. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes God doesn't want to just hear you talk. He actually wants to talk back to you. Have you ever been in a situation, and I'll go ahead and say this up front, I'm normally the culprit in this situation. But have you ever been in a situation where you've been talking with somebody and you don't actually get to talk? They just talk. Like you just sit there and listen to them go and go and go and go and go. Okay, that's not fun for anybody. And in fact, you generally try and avoid talking with that person another time because you're like, all right, here we go, you know? So what God is asking is that you be still and know that he's God. When you stop and say, do you understand that prayer is a two-way street, okay? It's not you just saying, God, would you do this, do that, bless this, bless that, help here, help there, and all the way down say, thanks, and see you later, okay? He's not Santa. You're not giving him a list of things you want. God is someone you're having a conversation with. God, would you please help my dad to have a great day at work today? Would you help him to reach out to those who need you and to glorify you and all these things and go on and continue upon what your specific prayer requests are? And then God impresses on your heart to pray, would you pray that, you know what, God, would you also keep my dad safe on the way to work? It could be that God's trying to say to you, hey, I'm going to protect your dad today on the way to work. There's going to be an accident that almost happens, but it doesn't. And your dad's going to be protected. And if you pray for it later, you'll be like, holy cow, I prayed you would be safe on the way to work. And that was avoided. Okay, it's a two-way conversation. It's a two-way street. Be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit. Number 5, pray spirit-filled prayers. Ephesians 6:18-20 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Would you ask God to fill you with his Spirit? There's a couple reasons for that. Number 1 is because Psalm 37 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of people want to focus on he will give you the desires of your heart without focusing on delighting yourself in the Lord. And we don't want to do what's required for the first part. We just want, please give me everything I want. And that's what God is. He's just my genie. I rub the bottle and he gives me something. And that's what everybody wants out of it. But that's not who God is. And so when we ask God to spirit fill us as we pray, we take on a John 17 type mentality where Christ is praying in the garden and he's got all of his disciples that are standing near to him. It says he goes apart and he prays and all of them are listening and he's praying for them. He prays for himself that he would glorify God the Father, that in everything he does, he would glorify him. Then he prays for his disciples, those 12 that were close to him, or those 11 that were close to him. And he prays and he says, God, would you help them to glorify you? And then he goes on to pray for other believers that are in the world. And he says, don't take them out of the world, leave them in the world. Why? That they may utter the gospel boldly as they ought to speak, like Paul says. Because there's a reason you're here. So as you pray your spirit-filled prayers, the idea is as I pray and ask for these things, there's a reason I'm praying for them. There's nothing wrong, okay? Some of you are going to get angry because you're dog lovers. There's nothing wrong with praying for your dog to get better or your dog to not have a hangnail or whatever, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. I know some of you actually have dog issues in here, so I'm not picking on you. But the dog stuff, okay? But the point is this. There's nothing wrong with asking about that. In fact, God says to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. However, when that trumps, when that trumps the idea of God in this situation, would you fill me with your spirit so that if it is that you're allowing this to happen so that at the vet, there's somebody sitting beside me that I have the ability to give the gospel to, would you fill me with your spirit so that's what happens? God, I want my dog to be better. I love my dog. I want it to get better, but would your will be accomplished? And here's the hard part. It's very easy to say that. It's very difficult when God's will is to take the dog. Because then we look at, he didn't answer. Doggy. And all that stuff. I love dogs. Okay, I'm not, cats, you sacrifice. But dogs, like, I'm kidding. I'm just being serious. But dogs, so with dogs, okay, if God were to decide to take the dog, okay, did God answer the prayer? Yes or no? Yes. Did he answer it the way you wanted? No. Does that mean he didn't answer it? No. He still answered it. And what happens is a lot of times we pray for all these things, but we don't pray in the spirit so that when God doesn't answer the way we want to, we blame him and say, it's all your fault. Instead of stepping back and saying, God, I asked for your will to happen. And would you give me the ability, number one, to be encouraged and comforted during this, but God, would you help me to see what you wanted to do through this situation? And we don't step back and say that. We just blame him and walk away. Pray spirit-filled prayers. Number six, pray in accordance with God's will. Woo! This one's a hard one. This passage is Luke chapter 22, and Christ is in the garden, and he's kneeling looking at the cup. And a lot of people will say, you know, he's looking at that cup, and what's he looking at? And he says, if you would allow this cup to pass for me, but not my will, but thy will. As he's looking into the cup, I think it's a metaphor of God, Christ looking into the cup and seeing all that he was about to endure. Seeing the beating, the mocking, the pulling of the beard, the crown of thorns, everything, the cross, the spitting, the spear, all of the stuff that was about to happen. I think Christ is looking down that cup going, God, would you allow it to pass from me? Now, put that cup in front of some of you. Some of you and me, let's put all of us in the same boat. Some of us, if we lose our friend, will kick down doors, will throw over things. I can't believe it, God! When Jesus is looking at a cup filled with what he would go through for you and says, not my will, but thine be done. Some of us would never be able to say that into the cup. Some of us would never be able to look into the cup of losing a friendship. Some of us would never be able to look into the cup of repairing a relationship, a broken relationship. Some of us would never be able to look in the cup of giving up that addiction. Some of us would never be able to look in that cup and say, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because we want our will. And Christ is giving us an example saying, I'm going to go through all of these things, not my will, but thy will be done. Did Jesus go through those things? Did Jesus go through those things? Yes. So was it God's will? Yes. Yes. So when Jesus is saying, not my will, but thy will be done, God goes, okay, well, it's my will you go through those things so that everybody could come to repentance who asks. And so when he's going through those things, he's saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Christ is giving us a picture of he will go through the ultimate suffering for you and for I because it's God's will. But then he will look and say in the Sermon on the Mount, we've talked about where he will ask us to be counterintuitive and say, I don't want to go through suffering. I don't want to go through pain. I don't want to go through all this different stuff. But if it's your will, I will go through it. If it's what you want, I will endure it because on the other side, there's something that you have for me. There's something you want me to do. And if it means I have to travel a road that I don't like, I'll do it. If it means I have to endure some things that I don't want to endure, I'll go through it. Because in the end, there is true joy, there's true repentance, and there's true fellowship with the Father. That's what spirit-filled prayer, asking in accordance with God's will, is all about. It may not be God's will that you are the most popular in your school. It may not be God's will that that guy or that girl dates you. it may not be, and it probably ain't in high school, that that girl or that guy are you going to marry. It may not be that you will have oodles of money in high school, that you're going to get a job that pays you $25 to play video games, okay? You're probably not going to get that job, okay? So when you're asking for these things, pray in accordance with God's will. It's not my will, but it's yours. God, if you're asking my will, I would love to have this. But if it's not your will, I'll take whatever is best for me. That's what it talks about with praying in accordance with God's will. And last thing, number 7, pray with a view towards obedience and service. Psalm 126, 4 through 6 says, "Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him." Pray with a view towards obedience and service. When you ask God to look into your heart and show you where you're wrong, he's going to show you. It's not like he's going to be like, "Ask again." No, ask a third time. God's not going to do that. So pray with this view towards obedience and service. I will follow whatever it is you want me to do. If you want me to listen and obey my parents on this issue, I will. If you want me to have a better attitude, even with this person or that person or my parents or this authority or whatever, I will. If you want me to be more like-minded with you in this area, even though it hurts, I will. If you want me to give up pornography, I will. If you want me to give up my other addiction, I will. Which God knows, for most of you, you may not ever look at pornography, but you've got an addiction. Some of you have looked at your phone during the service because you cannot go without it. Do you realize we've had service? I started preaching after 7:45. I've been up here 15 minutes and some of you can't go without looking at your phone. You want to talk about addiction? There it is. So when you pray and ask God and say, "God, would you give me victory over this?" And God says, "Put down your phone." Are you willing? Are you willing to? Because you have to pray with a view towards obedience and service. I'm not going to get off on the phone thing. I could. There are multiple practical ways to pray. Lots of P's there. There are multiple practical ways to pray. There's the scripture text version where you read through scripture and you pray the things it teaches. There's scripture theme where you look at a theme that's found in scripture and you pray down through there. There's the acrostic ways. Those are some 3 easy ways to practically pray in your heart. However, you can practice those and never be effective. You know that Jesus himself, we'll get to it in the Sermon on the Mount, teaches us how to pray. They teach us how to pray, Lord, and he teaches how to pray. But you could quote the Lord's Prayer coming from God himself and still not be effective. Why? Because not these 7 things beforehand. You have to be effective in the way you pray. It has to start with a cleansed life and heart. It has to. But tonight, we're going to break up into groups. We've got 10 minutes left. 15, actually. We're going to break up into groups, and we are going to spend some time in prayer. You will be with a sponsor. All of you will be with a sponsor, and we said we had 18? Okay. So we will have... What do I want to do? I said, what do I want to do? We're going to do 6 groups of 3. We're going to do 6 groups of 3. And what we're going to do is you're going to break off. Your sponsor has I think I left the rest in there. They have a half sheet of paper that goes through, I've given it to some of the sponsors, but it goes through how you're going to pray. And you guys are just going to pray together as a group. Now you might say, "I'm too scared to pray." That's why there's only 3 of you, okay? No one's going to look at you and be like, how dare they pray like that? None of you are going to go off and be like, "Oh God, our Father," you know, or anything like that, okay? We're going to spend some time in prayer as a youth group. Why is that ultra important? Because friends become family here. But ultimately, it's because Jesus is better. Because he's better. He is better than your nervousness about talking to him in front of other people. He is better than anything you can put up against him. So we are going to break off into 6 groups of three. And I've got, let's do Miss Brittany, Miss Laura, Mr. DJ, Mr. Dave, and then let's do Miss Debbie and Mr. Nate. You guys be the six groups, okay? So you need to find three people and go find one of them. Somebody can go, Mr. Dave, why don't you go into the game room? Mr. DJ, why don't you go into the study hall? Miss Laura.